Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Podcast Network Asia.
The following program may have words or content that may trigger fear, panic, or anxiety, especially to the younger audience. Do not proceed if necessary. Urban legends have been passed on from different generations from all over the world. But in the age of modern cities, mass media, and digital age, these stories have transcended to continue and give us both fear and wonder. But are these legends true? I am Earl, and I am the humble campmaster. And within the next few moments, I will be your guide into the mysterious world of the urban legends. Staying in school till late in the afternoon to hang out with your buddies is fairly typical among students. They frequently run across instructors, janitors, or security officers who are still on the quiet after-school grounds. But what if, that one time you stayed back in school, you meet someone from another world? Our story begins with a girl and her best friend walking around campus late at night. During the colonial period, their site was a religious school run by priests and clergymen. While the girls were walking and laughing, they noticed a figure emerge from the shadows, barely visible, but there. They didn't think anything of it at first, but as the figure slowly strolled towards them in a patterned haze, they recognized there was something strange about the person coming towards them in priest's robe. They simply couldn't figure out what it was. That is until one of the girls shrieked and pointed at the figure, which was devoid of a head. The girls remained frozen in fear as they began to notice that the headless priest was carrying something in its right hand. His severed head. He got closer and closer till they couldn't bear it any longer and scram. When they were a safe distance away, they looked back and saw no one. What you just heard is one of the famous urban legends in the Philippines that's set in many of the old universities. But the school urban legends are not just limited to apparitions of headless priests. Stories of lost souls, evil spirit possessions, and of course, a personal favorite of mine, the undying story when we were told that our school is a former graveyard. Show your school spirit and comment in our social media pages of your own school's urban legends. You can also share them via the Q&A portion in our episode when you listen through Spotify. In the Philippines, stories about a headless priest wandering around school grounds are popular, especially in grade schools. More so if your school happens to be run by Catholic nuns and priests. Have you ever wondered why? To answer that, we have to go back a bit. Like half a millennia. When the Spaniards arrived and thought of occupying the Philippines was a smart idea, they brought with them missionaries that served as de facto conquerors. They garnered the goodwill of the islands, put their best foot forward, and portrayed Spanish culture positively. And in doing so, got nearly 2 million converts from our beautiful Anitoism culture to Catholicism. In 1581, Bishop Domingo Salazar suggested to then King Ferdinand the need for a college to educate priests, which opened in 1596 as the Jesuit-run College of San Ignacio, Manila. Similarly, the Spanish Jesuits established Colegio de San Ildefonso in Cebu in 1598. Early on the invasion, the friars founded parochial schools adjacent to the churches to teach indigenous catechism. The friars organized and oversaw the education system that they introduced. Take the Asia's oldest university, for example, the University of Santo Tomas. Miguel de Benavides, the third Archbishop of Manila, spearheaded the establishment of the institution. In 1605, he left a small sum of his own money to build a seminary institution to train young men for priesthood. Such contributions, along with his own library, were the foundation of the University of Santo Tomas, which was established in 1611. In the 1940s, the University of Santo Tomas in Manila witnessed a deadly part of history as it was used as a Japanese incarceration camp. From January 1942 through February of 1945, the institution accommodated around 3,000 internees. Circumstances for internees deteriorated over the war, and by the time the camp was liberated by the U.S. troops, several of the internees were on the verge of death due to the shortage of food. And because beheading was the most common penalty before the World War II, stories of headless priests and clerics sprouted the nation. With that, it's not surprising that students of today witness apparitions of priests without their heads wandering at night. It's possible that these were the souls of those who died tragically during World War II. What would you do if you meet a headless priest in your school? When we return, we'll hear more school stories about the popular eco-jeepney and the possession craze that swept our student bodies. Coming up next.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
And now, back to our story. Now, headless priests aren't the only stories feared by students on campuses. There is a well-known urban legend among UP Diliman students about an incident that occurred at the Ecochipneys. Interesting fact. Did you know that Ireneo Odoy came up with the idea of eco-jeepney in 1949 after noticing students trekking lengthy distances from class to class? He made it feasible by driving his own jeepney named the Ghoul. This urban legend was apparently meant to highlight the dangers of riding a jeepney alone at night. I wouldn't get into much detail about this story, however. If you want to know more about it, you can go back to our episodes last February about the jeepney urban legends. However, a small spoiler alert, it also involves a vision of a headless person. Some famous urban legends on campus includes nuns wandering the grounds, military troops marching around the campus, wailings of the dead, phantom footsteps that belong to no one, and lastly, ghosts or demons spotted in the school restrooms. But every so often, you hear stories of possession or sapi happening in schools or universities. But before we could move forward, what is sapi? Sapi, to put it simply, is demonic possession. It is said that the weakening of the faith can be taken advantage by evil spirits and possibly lead to demonic possession or sapi. Just a quick Google search of sapi or sinapian in Filipino schools showed a lot of news articles regarding students being possessed. In fact, on the first page, there were 5 news articles about students being possessed, practically all of which occurred in remote or provincial places. An example of this story shared with us by our informants from Bicol when they recollected about their own experience while they were studying at a certain school, which we will remain anonymous. This school is about an hour away from the town center. It is situated on a slope and is surrounded by trees. The school wasn't fully developed back then, surrounded by nothing but grass and trees. According to our informant, almost every week, students are being possessed. They recall the moment in which they were waiting for the teacher when they heard a guttural sound. When they turn around, they notice their classmate moving erratically and growling. While most students were terrified, some were already prepared because it was such a common occurrence at school. The boys called their teachers, while the others held down the student. Our informants never really stayed during the whole ordeal. They did mention that they would pray over the student who gets possessed, and the student would eventually calm down. Some would even dare say that they were performing exorcism. But was it really exorcism? According to the EWTN Global Catholic Network, in the Code of Canon Law, mirrored by the Catechism of the Catholic Church in 1673, we read this: "No one may lawfully exorcise the possessed without the special and express permission of the local ordinary. This permission is to be granted by the local ordinary only to a priest who is endowed with piety, knowledge, prudence, and integrity of life." Add to that, the Pastoral Ministry Center of the Archdiocese of San Antonio says, "The Catechism of the Catholic Church emphasizes the importance of distinguishing between demonic activity and mental illness. From paragraph 1673, exorcism is directed at the expulsion of demons or to the liberation from demonic possession through the spiritual authority which Jesus entrusted to His church. Illness, especially psychological illness, is a very different matter. Treating this is a concern of medical science. Therefore, before an exorcism is performed, it is important to ascertain that one is dealing with the presence of the evil one and not an illness." Both of these are saying that one cannot just perform an exorcism without determining if the presence in the person's body is indeed caused by an evil possession, because it could be something else, and only priests can do the exorcism. We should keep in mind that while our informant indicated that this happened every week when they were at school, the possessions might have been caused by a variety of reasons. Maybe the students were under strain at school, or maybe the study was too much for them and they suffered a mental breakdown. Perhaps the students ate something awful and the pain caused them to respond in this manner. But according to our informant, all of these possessions stopped when their local church blessed the area. One question you may think is, what is possessing these students of this school? According to the informant, it's either an elemental spirit or ghost. Elemental alludes to duende, encanto, and the like, whereas the spirit refers to a person who died on the site. The school in the story is surrounded by trees and was once located in an unkempt area with thick grass. Usually, areas like these are known among the locals as places inhabited by elementals such as duendes, encantos, and more. Building a structure on the land where they reside without their permission might irritate them. It's also possible that the students were so loud that the elemental dwellers in the area were irritated and possessed the students to teach them a lesson. But what about the spirits? Were there any deaths in the area before the school was built? This is where one of the most well-known urban legends comes into play, that most schools in the Philippines were previously graveyards. The concept behind this story could be traced back into the years after World War II, again, when most of our lands and structures were destroyed after the war's devastation. Several people who perished from the war were not properly buried in cemeteries. Some were buried in abandoned lot or in unmarked graves. Some were buried in their very own backyards. And when the time came that some of the individuals and the government decided to put up a house or a building, most of them were unaware that such grounds have people buried under them. They were more focused on creating establishments to rebuild our nation. Those stories trickle down to that famous saying, "Dating cementerio daw ang school natin," or "Our school was built on a graveyard." Why are these urban legends still prevalent today? Why do people keep imparting them to youngsters? If you go to different universities, you'll find different stories about hauntings. It's either ghost hauntings or elementals roaming around the campus. Whatever it may be, I think these stories were meant to be cautionary tales for students. We can interpret it as a reminder to students not to stay late in school, to not be too loud or you'll disturb the elementals that live nearby, to be respectful to your surroundings, to not do anything that would disrespect nature, and most importantly, to honor the people around you, even the dead ones. Thank you for sticking around for another night in our campfire. If you liked this episode, you can support the show by giving tips via Patreon, Ko-fi, PayPal, or GCash. All the links will be posted in our episode's show notes, and your tips help in creating this show. You can also help support the campsite by giving us a like or a follow in all of our social media channels, as well as giving us a good review in our platforms, such as Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and even in our Facebook page. Your support helps us reach more people to listen to the show and help us share these fantastic stories. Again, thank you very much for listening. I hope to be with you again in the next story. I'm Earl, and this is the Urban Legends series of the Philippine Campfire Stories.
This podcast episode is based on or is inspired by true events. Unless otherwise indicated, all the names, characters, businesses, places, events, and incidents in this podcast are either the product of the podcast creator's imagination or used in a fictitious manner. Any resemblance to actual persons, living or dead, or actual events is purely coincidental.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news.
Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.